sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up. Going insane, never die, I live eternal. Who shall I fear? Don't shed a tear for me, nigga, I ain't happy here. I hope they bury me, send me to my rest. Headlines reading murder to death, my last breath. Take a look, picture a crook on his last stands. Motherfuckers don't understand if I die tonight. And then he says, nigga, if I die tonight, no fear, nigga, never worry, if I die tonight. Bury me a G, close casket, fuck it, if I die tonight. You know, tonight's the night, I get in some shit. Kill, 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 murder, murder, murder. Kill, 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 murder, murder, murder. Hey, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hold on a second. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. And for the French people in the audience, a.k.a. Mr. Grand Papa B. Pardon, Monsieur Grand Papa B. No, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. I'll let you deal with that one. Yeah. Hey, before I continue with the show, I have to explain, teach, let you new listeners know that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and also waves a red, blue, and a red, black flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. It would have made more sense if I said it waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on December 18, 2022. Was it 3:30? God damn it. An hour and 30 minutes away from the store I'm trying to get to before they close. Damn, that's not going to happen. Anyway, yeah. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I stand by that statement. Yes. Even though that shit might get me fired someday. Before I start the show, I'm starting the show, but I feel like, okay, I was going across an old speech I gave a long time ago called the 4 P's of public speaking. And the 4 P's, it's this theory, this thing I created, right? This idea, this notion about public speaking. Not just public speaking, but any form of speech. Whether it's rapping, whether it's podcasting. Yes, podcasting, karaoke, or whatever. And I have four phases. Participation, preparation, presentation, and post-presentation. Kind of corny. But anyways, in that speech, I noticed that I started with a quote by Lao Tzu, and it goes, "The key to growth is the introduction of higher dimensions of consciousness into our awareness." Okay, I'm gonna repeat that. That's more for myself. The key to growth is the introduction of higher dimension of consciousness into our awareness. Yeah. I think what I like about that is whenever I'm talking to stupid people. Someone I feel someone I think, okay, when I say stupid, I don't mean in a disrespect. When someone says or does something stupid, I'm trying to correct them. All lives matter. I make the assumption that this person is trying to establish an introduction to a higher dimension of consciousness into their awareness. They want to, oh, wow, there's something I don't know. There's something you know I don't. I make that assumption. I realize that, no, not everyone is like, not everybody wants to grow. Not everybody wants to grow. The reason why I bring up this quote is because it reminds me of the overall theme or the overall, is it theme of this podcast, which is growth. My growth. I mean, growth overall, just growth. Other people's growth, my growth. That's why I do it. It's a growth mechanism. I value growth. And I'm gonna leave it at that. You know what I mean? It's just one of those. I feel the need to say, don't take my word for it. but in my own, yeah. And growth. Okay. And the second reason, and the other reason why I'm thinking of that speech that I did a long time ago about participation, prep, presentation, post presentation is because I was about to start this podcast about. To tell you about how I'm not feeling in a good mood. And I notice I've been doing that a lot past few episodes. I start about how I describe my mood, how I'm not in the greatest mood. And I'm wondering, well, you know, I think that's kind of a no-no for public speaking. Like, you know, it's like, it's not the audience fault. Like, you know, it's like, suck it up, man. We want, people want to hear you. My attitude is fuck it. Motherfuckers love it. You know what I mean? People want to hear what you got to say. They ain't trying to hear about the fact that, you know, you're going for your male menstrual cycles, whatever the fuck, you know what I mean? I don't know if that was funny. Okay. Sorry, I'm reminding myself. Yeah, the reason I was thinking that is because I was feeling negative. And I, before I started the show, I did this one exercise, my therapist gave me to do. It's called cognitive strategies. And think of it as, you know, log down your feelings. But this shit here, what I like about it is it's called a schema therapy flashcard. Basically you're filling the blanks. So I'm feeling like this, and it was triggered by that. And I think those feelings is a result of this thing called schema. I'm not gonna explain what a schema is, but if you're into therapy, you're gonna be told to do some journaling. Journaling helps. Journaling helps for me. Well, I mean, it helps that it didn't, because sometimes I tend to like my speaking, I tend to ramble on, like write like a motherfucker, and then I get tired of it. But I like what this is, it's like specific. It's specific in what it's trying to It's insightful. It's been an insightful exercise. But where I'm going with this is I was thinking about the reason why I'm in a bad mood most of the time when I'm recording a podcast. Two things. One is because it's on a Sunday and the next day is Monday. And I'm thinking about, you know, it's wild, right? Let's look. I'm having a complicated relationship with work. I like it and I don't like it. But that's a longer conversation. That's a different, it's complex, but it does have to do with, you know what? Okay. That's 'cause it's a longer conversation, but, part of what triggers my bad mood is the post-presentation portion of public speaking or of any work. And post-presentation is that moment after that rush is gone, after you get off the stage, and you know, maybe you do well, maybe you don't, but that moment where that internal critic kicks in and starts talking shit about you. It's like, you know, oh, you fucked up. What about that one person in the audience who was mean mugging you? He, she didn't like what you were saying. Oh, fuck, you forgot to say that piece. Oh, man, you should have said this. You should have done that. You know what I mean? It's like, it's hard to enjoy the moment. You're just beating yourself up. So that motherfucker is so powerful that it affects my ability to prepare for a show, because when I'm preparing for a show, I'm anticipating that negative voice. And it's like, it kind of reminds me of, I don't know if this happened with my parent, but I'm. It reminds me of your parents anticipating you embarrassing them. So they give you, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. You fucking embarrass me in front of these people. I'm going to fucking this, that, and whatever, right? And, you know, and it sinks in. I'm like, okay, all right. I'll be on my best behavior. Brr, I'm sorry, my stomach is empty. Ah, fuck, I can't quiet that motherfucker. Yes, if they offer food, I'm not going to ask for anything. I'm going to do my best not to embarrass you. But whatever, right? But it's just that fear of doing something wrong. And I'm realizing that's what these podcasts are for, is to get in touch with these demons, these voices, the everything inside me that fucks up my ability to do a good show. Man, I should start wearing a mask because I spit when I talk. Anyways, yeah, I don't know. It's a bad habit I've developed. Must be this water. Anyways, I'm all over the place. If you're familiar with Be Black, you know that I'm all over the place. So it's trying to... Anyway, yes. Participation, preparation, presentation, and post-presentation. Maybe on another episode I'll explain those four P's, but I just wanted to talk about the how post-presentation of a last work can fuck you up. And, you know, managing that voice. Yeah, I'm trying to learn how to bully that fucking voice, because it's bullying me at the moment. Well, not at the moment, but these past few episodes. But here we are. Where are we? Okay, 10 minutes in, and I don't like what I'm saying. I'm also trying to do this thing, of treating every episode like it's my last episode. Part of this is probably why, I like to treat every episode like it's my last episode, And every episode, I ask the question, what would I do differently? In this case, I try to, sharpen my thoughts. Like, I have a topic and remind myself, why is that fucking topic on there? What exactly do you want to say? And what will it take for you to say so that at the end you'll feel like, okay, I said everything I needed to say. As opposed to freestyling it and then I'm 20 minutes in into the first topic, and fuck that. 30 minutes in, okay, I'm gonna be hard on myself. No, I'm mean to myself, right? I'm an hour in into the first fucking topic, and I'm like, fuck. I don't have a conclusion for this shit. I don't know what I was trying to say, but here we are. Okay, so so that's part of the reason why today's episode is titled 039 Focus B. 039 Don't Shed a Tear. And that was from the rap verse that I just read by Tupac from the song If I Die Tonight. Going insane, never die, I live eternal, who shall I fear? Don't shed a tear for me, nigga, I ain't happy here. Actually, I might name it Don't Shed a Tear for Me, N-word, I ain't happy here. We'll see. Yeah, Don't Shed a Tear for Me here. Now, the second reason why I chose this title and... specifically that verse is the I ain't happy here portion in that verse. And that's in reference to, this week we learned about the death of, DJ, make sure I get his name right. DJ, my note. Okay. Don't be hard on yourself, B. My notes suck, but I thought I wrote this shit. DJ Steven Twitch Boss. Oh my God. Yeah, DJ Steven Twitch Boss. I didn't know him because I didn't watch Ellen DeGeneres or whatever her name is. Ellen DeGeneres. But my cousin, one of my relatives, close relatives, knew him, was a fan of theirs. And so if it affects them, then it affects me. But it's the other thing too is his death was by suicide. And I'm going to talk about that in my random thoughts section. So before I get to all that, let me jump to quick to history and This Week in Therapy. I should probably also mention This might be my last episode of 2022. I'm debating. I'm not sure. But, you know, this is what I love about owning my own podcast is that I can make these last-minute decisions like these. But there's a chance I may not record for the holidays on Christmas or New Year's because I tend to get fucked up around then, and I don't want to make those kind of commitments. Yeah. What, B? You're choosing to get fucked up over recording a podcast? Yeah. You know, cause I'm in charge. Anyways, yeah. Anyways, so it would be interesting to have done my last episode with a title like "Don't Shed a Tear." Anyways, okay. Right. History, quick history, like I like to do. This week in history, I don't have a lot like I usually do, but December 18, 1990, Ice Cube "Kill at Will" was released to the public. You know what's funny is I'm not familiar with that album. I am confused on whether that was an album, but I do know America's Most Wanted, and I do know Death Certificate. I know it came between, but I don't know. Let me see. Okay, Endangered Species. Okay. Oh, okay, Get Off My Dick, Dead Homie, Jacket for Beats, The Product, J.D. Gaffling. I Say What You Say. Yeah, I'm confused by this album because a lot of these titles showed up on the America's Most Wanted album. Anyways, this might have been like a best of, but whatever, right? But Kill at Will was between two of my favorite albums worked by Ice Cube, America's Most Wanted and Death Certificate. But in order for Death Certificate to happen, Kill at Will needed to exist. So, 1990, December 18. Okay. And the second one is Nas Stillmatic, December 18, 2001. That was 2001? Yes. That album hits me in the feels, or I don't know. I feel for that album. Like, I have an emotional connection for that album for two reasons. One, it reminds me of the time I used to live in the Bay Area, and I used to go to this, this is before the internet was a big, I mean, not before the internet, but when I was still paying for music, and I had discovered this music shop in Oakland, California, and me and this dude, I'm not gonna say his government name on there, but anyways, it was this soul that I got to meet. He was like one of the employees of this record shop, this music shop. I'm gonna call it a record shop, all right? Music shop, okay? Ask your parents what a record shop is, kids. Anyway, yeah, so. And a dude from Oakland, and we bonded on our love for hip-hop. And for me, I was fascinated. I'm like, but wait, you're from the West Coast. You people don't like rap music? You know, I'm in here. I'm from Canada. What the fuck do I know? I thought only people in New York. I am being stupid. But it was amazing. For me, I think it was a bigger deal that I'm talking to this dude from the Bay Area, Oakland, the birthplace of the Black Panther, the old stomping ground of Tupac. I'm friends with this guy. I mean, we're friends, we're buddies, you know what I mean? And we just talked a lot about hip hop. And for me, during that period, I was going for like a dark ages of hip hop where I was a little disappointed with hip hop. I was not like, I don't know. It was just, I wasn't feeling what was coming out and shit like that. And this brother, man, holy shit, very persuasive brother. He was talking me into buying Nas Stillmatic. He's like, no, he understood. I get it. But this shit right here, nigga. I'm pretending to be him putting out the CD. This shit right here, nigga. You want to hear it. And I bumped it, and homeboy was right. I thought he was doing a sales pitch. He was trying to meet a quota. He was trying, you know, he was bullshitting me. Oh, right. Stillmatic came right after Nostradamus, and which was a disappointing album by Nas. But you know, I should be careful because you know, I think part of my disappointment with hip hop is the fact that the pro black movement, the conscious hip hop, was on a deathbed. No one was into that conscious shit. Or were they? No, because Death Certificate came. Oh, that was in the 90s. Sorry, fuck it. Yeah. In 2001, yeah. I think that was part of my disappointment. But anyway, homeboy, this brother, talked me into listening to it, to the Nas Stillmatic, and And I remember listening to it and being like, oh my God, he's right. I remember emailing him. I'm like, shit, damn. I'm not used to trusting human beings. And you said one thing, and that thing actually happened. I remember being shocked at the fact that, you know, when that first Stillmatic rap song kicked in, I'm like, and I'm like, oh shit, Nas is back. And the second track, I believe, was Ether. Yeah, man, it was mean. Yeah, mean after Jay-Z. Oh yeah, back then I wasn't a fan of Jay-Z, so I was like, Nas, yeah, you get him, you know. When I said I wasn't a fan of Jay-Z, I just didn't understand. I didn't understand him at the time. Oh shit, holy shit, this same brother. You know what? This brother was responsible for revitalizing my love for hip hop. Like, my love for hip hop was like Lazarus, and that nigga was like Jesus. He brought it back. Anyways, yeah. So yeah, when I think of Stillmatic, I think about the time that I fell in love with hip hop for a second time. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, that era. Yeah, I was getting out of the dark ages of hip hop. All right, this week in therapy. Before I'm gonna read this quote that I found on Instagram. Before I do that, I was watching this clip on TikTok, but I didn't get the chance to get the name of the person. It's what happens is I'll listen to a clip on TikTok, and you know I'll probably hit like, and later my thoughts, it'll spark some thoughts, and later I'll be like, holy shit, and then be like, fuck, I need to remember this person's name. So this is me apologizing for not having this person's name, but there was a person on TikTok, they were talking about how going into therapy, basically he was encouraging, it sounded like he was encouraging brothers who go into therapy, and in their first session, they're telling themselves, yo, all I did was feel mad. And the dude, the presenter, the content creator, was explaining how he used the analogy of a gym. It's like, yeah, man, your first week is gonna be difficult. It's going to be, it might be tough. You're not used on processing feelings, and that's what's going on. Yeah, you might be feeling mad. You're probably feeling shit you don't want to feel. And I love the fact that he used this analogy of a gym. Because it had me thinking about how I'm to therapy what a lot of gym bros that I've hated in the past were to the gym. They love talking about their progress. On my end, it's not that I love talking about the progress, but I do have moments where I'm like, I've acknowledged the fact that if I'm not coming out of a therapy session, and I'm not going to my close friend and saying, you know, with tears we have this tradition, she knows the look on my face and she'll be like, okay, point on the doll where your therapist touched you. If I'm not feeling like a little scared puppy, I'm trying to avoid using the word little bitch. Okay, I'm gonna say a little bitch. If I don't feel like vulnerable as a motherfucker, like fragile and like, oh my God, I've been violated and shit like that, then okay, hold on a second. Say, so I gotta be careful because not every session is like that. But some of your best sessions are the ones where you feel uncomfortable, where you're like, you feel like Tony Soprano wanting to flip over the table and call your therapist all kinds of bad words. I'm kidding. I'm not saying this, but as a man who's not used on feeling feelings, that yeah, no, you are going to, there's going to be some storms inside your body, like tectonic shift. There's going to be a lot of explosions. You might want to cry. You might want to like, hey, I'm going to need an Uber ride because I don't feel like shit shakes up on the inside. Those are the great sessions. I'm not saying every sessions are like that, but sometimes they build up to those kind of sessions because you end up realizing shit that you didn't want to admit to yourself. You've guarded yourself from. Like your brain as a protective mechanism probably sheltered you from some memory or for some thought, and then when you finally talk to your brain and say, hey, you're talking to your brain and say, hey, motherfucker, show me what's inside that safe. It's like, okay, you told us not to show you, but we'll show you. And then you look at it and you're like, oh my God, all this time it was my fault. You know what I mean? It's when you have those moments, I'm just saying. So what I'm saying is I'm aware of those moments. I'm not scared of those moments. The fact that I'm not scared of those moments, that I embrace those moments, it reminds me how much the gym bros, they love going to the gym and they love talking about the sessions where, yo, I had a tough session. Yo, my gym trainer, my Arabic instructions, you know what I mean? They broke something. I'm aching. I can't sit for a while. Fuck, my legs feel like jello. You know, I remember them bragging about that shit. Not bragging, but saying like, to them, that was a sign of, yeah, that was a great session. Me, the first second I sweat, I'm like, I hate this. I fucking hate it. I hate this pain. I hate all this. Let me put it this way. If I could get myself to embrace the gym the same way I'm able to embrace therapy, I'd probably be able to see my dick. I'd probably be able to see my toes. Did I say dick? I meant to see my toes. Sorry if your children are listening. But, you know, I'd be in better shape. I'd be, my bravery wouldn't be so fucked up. I'd probably be telling, you know, probably wouldn't need as much. My doctor, you know what? I've never gone into a session and see my doctor proud of me. Who knows? Yeah, she. I might make my doctor proud. What the fuck? Oh, shit. Maybe there is a life after death. Man, this fat motherfucker might survive. Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. Look, man, we're getting close to the end of the year. Maybe that's going to be the resolution. Because at this moment, I loathe the gym. I loathe the gym. Arnie died. You know, part of it has to do with, I was about to play the blame game. But the title I put down was, I brag about my progress. I don't brag about my progress the same way gym bros do. But it's not about bragging because, you know, I don't tell a lot of people about my sessions. I don't think about my progress. But I am grateful for a friend who I went to dinner with and they noticed the progress and they brought it out. And I'm like, what progress? But, yeah, I respect the fact that they pointed that out. Holy shit, this is longer. Okay, fuck it. Looks like this is going to be another, so much for my commitment to keep my thought focused. But you know what? No, this was one of those thoughts that I'm, whatever, okay. All right, because I want this to be a quick This Week in Therapy. Never happens. All right, I'm going to read real quick this quote by someone I follow on Instagram, and the name is Life by Lisa. That's their name on IG. Now, Lisa Boyer. Now, I want to be clear. Oh, she's an ASP mentor. I want to be clear. I am not endorsing her. I don't know her business. And apparently, she's a mentor, and she sells. Mentor. She sells a service. I guess she's one of these things. I want to be clear that I'm not endorsing her service. I'm actually skeptic of of people in that business. And it's no disrespect to her personally. I'm sure, you know, she's a great human being, all that shit. But I grew up in a church, and I'm realizing that I fucking lost faith in all healer types. In all the, anyone who comes with I sell, my business is this. Yeah, okay, sorry. I'm going off the ramp, but I'm just saying it's not an endorsement, but it just so happens that this person posted something that I like, and I'm reading it, and I'm going to share it with you all. All right. Okay. She wrote this post, and it goes, how to care less about what people think of you. And again, her target audience are people who are hypersensitive, HSP, hypersensitive people. Yeah. All right. How to care less about what people think of you. First slide. It goes, okay, so we're human. It's natural to want to fit in. Fit in or fuck off. Sorry. This growing up in Canada, that's been the motto. It's natural to want to fit in and feel accepted by groups. That's normal. It's normal to want to be like, check. At its most primal level, it's a survival strategy. If we're accepted, then we're safe, right? Yes, right. However, this is a problem when we try to, however, this is a problem when we don't try new things because we're afraid of being judged or criticized. Like me in this podcast. We immediately feel not good enough if someone dislikes us or disagrees with us. We pretend to like things or agree with the ideas, in brackets, that we actually can't stand because we want to be accepted. Been there. We constantly ruminate and second guess ourselves. Next slide. I mean, how exhausting when we're so caught up in what everyone else thinks of us, we'll crumble at the first sign of their disapproval. We hold ourselves back from amazing new opportunities because, God forbid, someone from high school judges us. Yeah, fuck them. Which, by the way, people are seriously not thinking about us as much as we think they are. Yes, they are. All right, okay. I know it's hard. Trust me. I get critical comments on Instagram nearly every day that shine a spotlight on my biggest insecurities. I might talk shit about her practice, but I trust her when she says that. Trust me, I'm gonna repeat it. She says, trust me, I get critical comments on Instagram nearly every day that shine a spotlight on my biggest insecurities. Because she's a content creator. She puts herself out there, and I know she's getting hate. I'm continuing. I've most certainly been judged, made fun of, and disliked, but guess what? I survive because I like myself. I'm gonna repeat that. She says, I survive it because I like myself. I like myself. She bolded it. And when we learn to like who we are and what we stand for, if we know our intentions are good and we try our best. That's what I told myself at the beginning of the session before recording. It seriously affects us so much less if someone doesn't like us, disagrees with us, doesn't want us to be our friend. This is one of my favorite remedies. Always do your best. Seriously, that's it. When you do your best, when you do what you love, when you have good intentions, it doesn't matter what anyone says or thinks. Doing your best strengthens your relationship with yourself. You like you. Doing your best is how you have your own back. Doing your best is how you have your own back. Someone doesn't like me? Cool. Well, I know I'm good. I'm a good person and I do my best. Someone thinks my work sucks? Cool. Well, I think my work is great and I do my best. Your best will look different each day. As Don Miguel Ruiz, R-U-I-Z, always says in his book, The Four Agreements, never read that book, regardless of the quality, keep doing your best. No more nor less than your best. If you try too hard to do more than your best, you will spend more energy than is needed, and in the end, your best will not be enough. Sorry, if I'm laughing, it's because I'm thinking of I'm self-conscious of my fucking reading, and and I'm trying to convince myself I'm doing my best as I'm reading. I am. Bear with me. Okay, I think this is the last paragraph. Okay, yeah, last paragraph. When you overdo, you deplete your body and go against yourself. It will take you longer to accomplish your goal, but if you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustration, self-judgment, guilt, and regrets. Let me read that. She said, but if you do less than your best, you subject yourself to frustrations, self-judgment, guilt, and regrets. You've got this. All right. You know what? Two things. Okay. One positive, one. Oh, it's not negative, but I mean two, like, I like to read this shit and, like, absorb it. As opposed to just, you know, read a positive quote and just think that, you know what I mean? Do your best. And I'm going to do your best. Like, absorb it. Like, actually live this shit. Make it part of my in code. So the part that struck me the most, the best, is when she says, "I survive because I like myself." I think that's powerful. I remember reading it with skepticism, and when I got to "I survive because I like myself," that's when I was like, "Ah, shit, okay." She knows what she's talking. She ain't bullshitting. You know what I mean? If she is bullshitting, then that right there ain't bullshit. Again, my apologies for sharing my skepticism, my cynicism in this world. I don't know, I'm getting old and bitter. Anyway, okay, I'm making excuses for my cynicism. But here we are. Yes, but I love the sign of "I like myself." Liking yourself might be that shit you have to figure out on your own, because a lot of people who I thought loved themselves were shitty examples of what loving yourself looks like. But I guess through progress of therapy, I'm understanding what the concept of liking yourself means, how liking yourself can be a shield to the haters in the world. All right. The last part is, it's not a criticism, but it was more along the idea of liking yourself. I'm realizing my handicap is I grew up having people tell me what my best was. I still remember being in the gym, one of the many examples, and being told shit like, no, you got more in you. You can do it. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, it's not in me. No, you can't. You know, whatever. And sometimes doing it and not doing it. And when you don't do it, and I'm like, I fucking told you I didn't have it in me. Whatever. I've never known what my best looks like because I've been so used to having people tell me, this is what you're best. This is what you're capable of. To me, the concept of the best is not something that's defined by yourself. It's defined by others. And, so I guess the challenge is when people say shit, you know, just do your best. Okay, I don't know what my best looks like. Because I'll say that's my best, and some asshole will be like, no, you could do better, or you can, who gets to judge what my best is? I know this is one of those things that I'll figure out. I will, through growth, but in my current state, I'm still confused at the concept of best. The same way I used to be confused at the concept of what it meant to loving yourself, to liking yourself. Like, liking yourself to the point where you're like, I don't give a fuck what you say about me. You don't like these shoes. You don't like this hat. You don't like the way I present myself. You know what? I'm cool with it. So, your thoughts versus my thoughts, I'm sticking to mine. Yeah. All right. Yeah, man. Anyways, yeah. So, shout out to Life by Lisa. Notes will be in the show notes where we are. Okay. 36 minutes. You know, I kind of, yeah. All right. Okay. Random thoughts. Let's get into random thoughts. Okay. RIP Twitch. Like I said, RIP Twitch. I'm going to read I hate reading. I'm not going to read. You know what? Notes are in the show notes. All you need to know is I got the links for them. The links will be in the show notes, but DJ Steven, Twitch boss. His claim to fame or what his biggest, he's a father, he's a husband, and from what I understand, a talented individual, and he worked with Ellen DeGeneres. The title I have on DMZ, it goes, "Ellen's DJ Dead at 40 by Suicide. Ellen Heartbroken." Now, Ellen's not the best person to tell me who she is. Okay, you know what? Doesn't matter. What matters is how he got on my radar. I mean, I saw the headline about him committing suicide, but it was more when my cousin reached out to me, and I will address that part, right? And she says, she reached out to me and said, she just said, "Hi, how you doing?" You know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and he goes, "Yeah, well, I just heard about the death of, DJ Steven, Twitch boss. And it just reminded me on how I need to check on my friends and blah, 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 blah." And now, why don't we be clear? My cousin is, she said that how her and her sister, were fans of theirs. Okay, the two reasons he's on my radar is, oh, maybe three reasons. Yeah, okay, two reasons. One, my cousin loves him. I love my cousins, you know what I mean? Their happiness is my happiness. And this same cousin, she's like an incredible human being. She's like, every time we hang out, she just brings out the smile. You know, people, the certain human beings in your world that just brings out your need to smile. Like, it's like, you know, I've always told her, oh, fuck shit, she was boring. She was always an adorable, cute human being. Anyway, I said, both of my cousins, right? I'm in a bad mood and they bring out the, like, fuck, man, I told you, I'm trying to stay mad, whatever, right? And she's one of those people that just, like, she emits, radiates happiness. With that said, that doesn't change, right? with that said, the whole check. Okay, I'm gonna address the whole checking in on your people. With that said, cousin, the second one was, I hate these moments after a celebrity, especially a celebrity known for being happy and everything, commits suicide, like Robin Williams, and the whole public turns into, oh, well, this is what mental health looks like. Oh, fuck, check on your friends. Oh, shit. Oh, you never know what people are going through. And like the shit that gets said after these moments. I hate what the shit people say after someone commits suicide, because I feel like it's all bullshit. We say we don't want things like, oh, no, life, all lives matter. We say shit like that. Life is precious. I say the collective we, and I know I'm not talking, you know, not all people, I get it, right? Because there's some special human beings out there doing great work. Who actually worked the hotlines, the suicide hotlines. I'm not talking about you all. I am talking about the people who say that, but their actions show differently. Who am I talking about? Like, I'm thinking about, you know, many examples, but I can think about the many examples of the same people who, like, the people of the world who are like, yo, just suck it up. I mean, yeah, okay, only the strong survive in this life. But okay, look, I'll just get to it, man. Fucking, we had a movement, like the convoy supporters, during the mask mandate. The government, we were fortunate to have the government step in. I mean, step in to be like, hey, yo, we need y'all to wear these masks. No, it was more like, okay, we were fortunate to have a government who chose to listen to the fucking expert who recommended, hey, if we want to address this fucking, this COVID, this outbreak, pandemic, is pandemic the word? Yeah, this motherfucking pandemic, to curb this shit, what would help is if y'all were to wear masks. I was so fucking angry at people who were pissed, who were annoyed. You want me to wear a mask? How fucking inconvenient. All the people who were like, hey, no one in my family's dying from this shit. No one that I know of, none of my favorite celebrities or anyone I care of or myself is being affected by this disease. Fuck, do you want me to wear this mask? Nah, you're infringing on my freedom to not give a fuck. Most of those people will be the same assholes to be like, oh, man, suicide sucks. Pete, yo, if you feel like committing suicide, call me. Look, I'd rather hear from you before you, like, and I'm not just talking about this convo. I'm talking about this people who are inconvenienced at the idea of having to give a fuck. You know what I mean? It's like, look, either you do or you don't. But don't bullshit me with this. It's like these people should just be like, eh, another one bites the dust. I don't, it's you. Like, I guess Facebook annoyed the fuck out of me is because I was seeing the same people who would post shit on check on your friends were the same people who I felt like saying, you know what? Don't check on your friend. Like, before you check on your friend, make sure you're not the reasons why you're checking on them. Because maybe they're a bit avoided. Maybe they've cut you off. Maybe they don't want to hear from you. Now, I'm not talking about my cousin because when my cousin said that, yeah, I'm just doing the check on your friend things. And I said, yeah, I was a little angry when she did that, you know, not at her, but I didn't tell her this, you know, I don't know. I don't think she'd be able to process this. I don't know if she would process this the way as intentional because it might come off. I could see how it might come off as an attack. Look, I'm just trying to be nice. You know what I mean? But I'm just annoyed at the constant, the people who are not sincere. That's what I'm getting at. I think I'm mad at insincere people. People who say they're about, hey, I love everyone. Like the motherfuckers who will respond with all lives matter when you yell, when you say shit like Black Lives Matter. You don't mean that. You don't mean that. The same motherfuckers will be like, I'm a pro-lifer. No, you don't. No, you don't. You're pro-forcing women to give birth. But once you give birth, you don't give a fuck about that child. You're the ones who are like, man, get off welfare. You're the ones who are like, no, fuck socialism. Why is there a not in my backyard? Why, you know, you don't give a fuck about these people once they're born. But you do give a fuck about forcing women to give birth. Give birth to a child that they can't take care of, and that you're not gonna give a fuck about. You know, I'm just, yeah, it's the hypocrisy in this world, man. What did I write? Yeah, and it had me thinking about, okay, this might be a longer segment. I just realized that I had a lot of thoughts in this shit. And I'd be thinking of the other thing too about this life is, if we were to measure, like, let's say happiness, that abstract thing called happiness was quantifiable, and we were to measure everyone's level of happiness, I wonder how people like Elon Musk would score. Billionaires, the motherfuckers, the celebrities, how would they score? Like, we're looking at everyone, you know, because I'm one of those people who are like, hey, to the rest of the world, I'm a happy individual. But on my own, I spend a lot of time saying fuck the world on deep down on the inside. Now, I'm not suicidal. I am in therapy. That's what counts. I'm just saying I understand. I relate to those saying, yo, fuck this life. Fuck it. Now, I brought up, getting back to my, if we were able to measure everyone's happiness score, and how would they score? Because one is, I'm realizing the people who I was told were the shining example of what happiness looks like weren't. And two, I weren't because, you know, people who are happy don't flaunt the fact that they're happy. They share that happiness. That's my example. And two, people like Elon Musk, the billionaires, the celebrities and shit like that, it's as if they have access to a whole bunch of shit to hide the fact that they're not happy. Like, okay, like, you know, I'd be interested to see what their scorecard was. Like, there's someone out there is living in a shack. Ain't got shit. Ain't got two pennies to rub together. Is that the expression? But their happiness level is probably higher than Jared Kushner. Again, I don't know these people personally, right? I want to be careful. I don't know these people personally. Who knows? Maybe they have an understanding that I don't. But I do know for a fact that happy people don't do a lot of the shit that they do. That's what I've learned. It's one of those, look, I'm not sure of a lot of shit in this world. But the one thing I'm sure of is, one, the example I was given or was told of what happiness looks like were all fake. The fucking Drakes of the world, he might be happy with his success, but he might be hating, I don't know, people talking shit about him on a regular, I don't know. But I'm just saying, his examples of being the guy with, the guy with all the girls, all the money, I'm VIP at every club that I go through. All those shit, it's all like, what did Chuck D say? Fame is fake. And there's, I forgot what the other F was. It was a what's that thing called? Alliteration? Fame is fake. But my point is, there's a lot of people at the top. Like, look. You would look at DJ Steve, DJ Steven, Twitch. I don't know him personally, but you would think he'd be an exec. A lot of people are shocked that he'd be, oh, wow, you have all this shit and you're not happy? You know what? Maybe it's not a case of happiness. That's the other thing, too, about the whole checking on your friends. And I was telling this to my cousin, is like, look, because she was saying shit like, I sincerely believe that if one of her close friends were to kill themselves, she would feel responsible, she would start thinking about, should I do it or could I do it? And I was trying to convey to her and say, look, man, ain't shit you can tell someone who's made the decision to take their own lives. The best you can do is be there for them. Maybe you might, like, by listening to them, letting them, you know, say what they need to say, maybe at some point you might talk them off the ledge, but once they made up their mind, you're like, you need to kill that idea that you can make a rational argument to that person. You can rationalize your way, rationalize these people into not taking their own lives. Nah, man, they're on the ledge. They're on the ledge, and it's not words that's gonna change it. I'm trying to say, ain't shit you could do about it. They've made their choice, you know? No, free will. You know what I mean? They've made that choice. You could probably stop them, you know? You could probably grab the gun from their hand. You could probably grab them away. But if they've made that choice, they're going to... ain't shit you could do about it. It's their choice. Some people have difficulty understanding the concept of people's will. You know what? Shout out to Three Guys On. They were having a discussion. On my list of podcasts that I am a fan of, a list of favorite podcasts. Three Guys On. Sometimes I think you can pretty much base a lot of my episodes on the last podcast I listened to. Well, that's not true, but okay. But they were having a discussion about Kanye spiraling spiraling downward. And, they were talking about how, not the Breakfast Club, was it Nori? Nori's got his own podcast and how he had him on. And he said some bullshit about, we had him on because we were trying to, we thought that we'd be able to talk him out of his bullshit behavior. And, you know, and the reality is, nah, you guys are full of shit, man. You guys exploited his mental health crisis. Fuck, they gave him alcohol and you wanted clicks. See, I hate those people. I fucking hate those hypocrites. But anyway, yeah, man. Like I'm looking at Kanye. A lot of people are mad at him, justifiably. A lot of people are disappointed. I am. But to me, I don't like hearing headlines from hearing the headlines I'm reading about Kanye would be like reading headlines about my brother going into, dropping and spiraling into, I'm not related to Kanye or anything like that, but it hits me. I don't like seeing headlines of Kanye saying more stupid shit, losing billions, go spiraling into, what's that word that I actually use? Spiraling to the bottom. There we go. It bothers me. This shit like that. And see, that's the thing is how him going crazy is entertainment. It's like clickbait. It's like it's his headlines gives us reasons to tell to charge our advertiser more fucking money for our service. Like, we live in a world where we enjoy this shit. But it just, you know, we like, yeah. Oh. It's like, oh my God, he's going to jump. He jumped. Oh man, that's fucked up. I wish I would have talked to him. I wish someone would have said something to him. It's like we enjoy this. It's, man, look, man. Yeah, it's just one of those things. hypersensitive guy that I am, that bothers me about this fucking world that we live in, man. We say how, hey, we want you to live, but deep down inside, if you croak and you make it entertainment, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it. You know, it bothers me seeing people sometimes, you know, the videos of people losing their mind, going crazy. I remember there was a video of this, of a man, woman, I forget, walking around naked, doing something crazy. And you know, it was some viral video that went viral. But everyone's like laughing. Oh, this person's stupid, this, that, whatever. But no one is like, shit. I wonder if they're getting help. I wonder if there's, do they have access to help? I wonder if there's someone out there available. Is there anyone available to help this individual? No. Helping is the last thing on people's mind. Yeah, you know what? This is just, I think this is the death of DJ Steven Twitch just reminded me of how much I hate this world. How much how do I say this? I understand someone's reason to be like, okay, you know what? I got to be careful. I don't know DJ Steven, but the fact he committed suicide, the concept of suicide is on my mind. I think a lot about that shit. And not more, why are people doing it? It's more, man, I get it. I get it. It's like we... talking about what makes us miserable is not in style. No, that's fucking boring. Fake that happiness. No one can have, like, what conversation, I'm trying to imagine, before he killed himself, opening up to someone. The reason he felt the need, I'm not trying to say the people in who were around him. I'm trying to be careful what I'm saying. I'm like, because this is one of those strong points. Okay. The fact that this conversation is so complicated to have is what bothers me. But it's like people like that getting to that point. It's the fact that they didn't feel like there was someone could have helped them. Or maybe there was someone, but they didn't feel like they wanted that help. I get it. I get it. I understand wanting to shut down. Look, man, I guess I'm saying I understand. Okay. Complicated. And this is not trying to trigger people into, no, let me try to help you and stuff like that. Because, no, you're just going to make shit worse. I'm saying I understand them. I understand that desire to be like, fuck it. Like Tupac said, because that's the other reason why I love that verse by Tupac. Don't shed a tear for me, nigga. I ain't happy here. I was never happy here. If I die, fuck it, man. Don't shed a tear because, trust me, at the moment, death just felt like a better option than this fucking complicated life. Like, I'm sure there are people out there who are happy, enjoying life. You should know what life is worth. Because you will look for yours on earth. Yeah, man. I'm sure you get it. And they're doing a good job. It's contagious. They're doing a good job making us understand what's... Hey, my cousin's one of them. You know what I mean? Like, sharing that happiness with the rest of us. Like, it's contagious. But I feel like those people, these happy people, the real, authentic, happy people in the world, are a minority. They're not listened to. They don't make headlines, man. Nah, fuck that. We don't want to hear from them, this poor person who's happy. Tell me more about Elon Musk and how he's owning the libs. Tell me more about these chic, they usually keep, riding around in these expensive cars. Tell me more, show me, you know, that's what we like. That's what we enjoy. And that's, yeah, man, I'm just, I don't know, man. This life thing is just a trip. What's your conclusion for this one? The only conclusion I have is before you check on your friend, and this is not, I'm not talking about my cousin in this one, but I am talking about the piece of shits in the world, the people who like, don't like, I have this friend who like, who will say shit like, they're a reasonable person, they love to consider both sides of the argument, but what makes it difficult is sometimes people, but if you're the sensitive type, you're not going to like me. Like, he blames people, like, if you're the sensitive type, like, he doesn't mean that in a way like, It's more like, oh, I apologize that you're a soft ass bitch. You know what I mean? He's like, if you're the, it's like the people who tell you, I'm brutally honest. And it's just their way of justifying being a shitty human being. I'm brutal. No, you're not. You're not. There's honest. And then, but when you say I'm brutally honest, nah, that's your way of saying I'm an asshole. I don't know how to read people's emotions. I don't give a, no, maybe I don't, or maybe I don't give a fuck about other people's feelings. What matters to me is what's on my fucking mind, and whatever the effect it has, well, that's your problem. Yeah, man. So all I'm saying is, before you're that asshole talking about, oh, check on your friends, make sure you're not the reason. Boy, I wrote this better. Before you check on your friend, check yourself. Like, it kills me that, I mean, Ellen DeGeneres had to, mention that she's, like, they had to associate her success so that we would know who this person is. But the last headline I remember about Ellen DeGeneres is how she ran her shop. She was a shitty person to work for. Like, yeah, man, if you're a business owner and your employees, and you make your employees suffer, make, you know, life even more difficult, I hate you, individual. Like, you are, like, that's not the name I wish I would have saw. You know what I mean? I wish it would have, like, they mentioned how she's hurt. But, I mean, Ellen, how do you not know, did you ever give a fuck about the fact, did it bother you, the fact that people hated working for you, that you made people's life difficult? Nah, no, I want to be careful. I'm not trying to say that she triggered there's a link between her being a shitty boss and his death. That's not what I'm trying to get at. But I am thinking about the fact that the world in this capitalistic system, how we value the fact that because, you know, the people who made the advertisers, the people who made money from Ellen DeGeneres don't give a fuck about the fact that she was a shitty boss. She gave us results. She helped us. We sold ad space. She was popular. I don't know if she got an Emmy or whatever, right? It's like, we don't give, it's like the pyramid, man. I'm thinking of the pyramid. No one gives a fuck about the fact that people died building that shit. Nah, man, it's one of the 8 wonders of the world. Is it one of the 8 wonders of the world? I should Google that shit. But yeah, man, I just, this is just Be Black making sense of this fucking world that we live in. I mean, you know, maybe I'm in my growth, I'll probably figure out that you got to be happy with the small things in life, the small things that make you happy. But at the moment, I'm just thinking about the fucking shit that makes, I'm just, my heart goes out to everyone out there. Contemplating suicide. It's lingering on their mind. Having difficulty finding happiness in this world. You know what's fucked up is a lot of us, like, living in this, you know, first developed countries, there's a lot of us out there, like, there. We have every reason to be happy, but for some reason, we can't. It's fucked up. I don't know, man. I'm just trying to make sense of the world that we live in. That's it, man. Maybe there's some wisdom, some old wisdom I should. Hey, man, shout out to the monks that I recently read about who were smoking meth, who tested positive for meth. I mean, so much for that spirituality. I mean, you know, I guess I should read more details into that shit before speculating, but it's part of the reasons why I don't trust people who, like, sell you on, hey, I have the key to happiness. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, don't holler at me to figure out the key to happiness, because I'm still figuring that out for myself. All right. Okay. Next item. Oh, fuck. 1 hour. You know what? Oh, I'm pissed off about it. You know what? Fuck it, man. Fuck it. This might be the last episode for 2023, so I'm just going to... You know what it is when I prepared for this show, I didn't think I would have a lot to say on these topics, and here we are. next item on my rundown, sheet, I wrote something Meghan Markle said about Prince Harry. So if you're a Netflix subscriber or a friend of Harry and, Meghan, they have a documentary out, and I watched the first episode. At first, I didn't like it. I didn't think I was going to like it, but that's only because I'm jaded about the concept of love. I don't know. There's something about a man. There's something about heterosexual relationships. Okay, now, I'm heterosexual. At least I think I am. I say I think I am because apparently the sexuality thing is not as simple as I was told it was, like it is in the Bible. But yeah, so I say that I'm a heterosexual. With that, but I have a criticism for, there's something about heterosexual relationships where I'm so used on hearing the bads, the players, the bullshitters, the whatever, that it's like I am not moved by a man talking about, oh, I love this woman. Or when people say, oh, he really loved her. Like, to me, it's like, I don't know what you mean. What you say? You know, you might be, I'm waiting for the bullshit to happen. But anyway, with that said, yeah, this episode is brought to you by being jaded, by jaded people. Right, okay. So something Meghan Markle said, I'm not addressing the documentary. This is probably like probably not the intended conversation Meghan probably had when she said what she said, but she said she was talking about how when she first met Prince Harry, right? Or I think one of her friends said, hey, there's a dude who likes you and his name is Harry, whatever, right? And, you know, that first phase, and you're trying to get to know the other person. And she said that one of the first things she did is she went on his Instagram to see what he posted. And it was more the idea of how she used his social media to get an idea of the kind of person he is. I've heard of sex workers who, when they pre-screen their clients, they ask for or reference, and they also ask for, hey, let me see your social media. Some employers do that, and you know, to get to know the person. I thought that was interesting. I guess maybe I'm old school like that, but I was thinking about the fact that, A, I'm not on Facebook, because complicated story, but for short conversation, I was banned from Facebook. Yeah, after George Floyd, I guess, I made a few white people uncomfortable, but long story short, and I'm not sure if it's the white people I made uncomfortable or the bot. But long story short, I am not on Facebook. I am on Instagram. I am on Twitter. But I just realized that this podcast is my social media outlet. This would be the thing that if someone were interested in me, wanted to know more about me, this is what they would go through to learn more about me. And I'm like, well, one thing is, I haven't said anything that I wouldn't have posted on Twitter. It's just that on this podcast, I elaborate more on my ideas. And I was, a lot of the shit that I say on this podcast, it's things that, like, I might, for example, I just talked about my cousin, right? And how she said something that I appreciated, but it's a conversation I don't feel I would be able to have with her. Or at least I don't feel like it's... Well, look, man. When you're talking to people, sometimes it's... I was just introduced to the concept of, well, you know, hearing versus listening. On this podcast, it's my moment where I just say what I want to think without someone interrupting me. See, the problem is when I'm talking to someone, I automatically get into shut the fuck up mode and... What do they want to say? What do they want to hear? Because in my experience, most people I come across, I'm not saying all, but most people I'm used to, they don't care what you have to say. They, you know, they ain't trying to process what you got to say. Like, I could say something and that's communication for you. You know what I mean? They'll take it the way they want to take it or. Sometimes, you know, and sometimes not in the intentional. Well, I mean, that's what it is, man. That's communication, man. Sometimes you get a three-shot I'm the analogy of basketball, like 3-point shot. Sometimes you make your point, and sometimes your point gets you don't get to make it. It gets distorted. Anyways, yeah. So I'm just thinking about how on this podcast is where it's my attempt to keep it real. It's my attempt to say what's on my mind. Now I'm not saying that I'm not like a preacher who believes I'm right about everything. Again, like I started this talk, you know, this is all about growth. I'm saying what's on my mind, whether right or wrong. I'm willing to have what I say challenge, but not by assholes. you have to remember, I grew up around white people, and I've gotten so used to being gaslit about being black, I grew up with the kind of white people who weren't trying to hear about, yeah, I ain't trying to hear about your struggles as a black person. Fuck that. I don't see race. That, you know, like talking about race just fucks them up, just puts them in a bad mood or will make them cry. Like they have their notions they were given about race, which is very simple as far as they're concerned. Martin Luther King said the I Have a Dream speech, and since that point, racism was over. It's been over. Like, you know, anything after that, you're just asking for special privileges and stuff. What I'm getting at, my point is, I'm used to trying to express a deep thought and having it distorted, like rejected, dismissed, or whatnot. And this podcast is just my attempt to like bring out the real in me, because I still haven't figured out how to do that around people. When I'm around people, I like, and yes, this touches back to what I was saying in this day in therapy. When I'm around people, I tend to censor myself. Be careful what I say. I'm more attention to what they want to hear, what they want to say, than I am about what's going on in my own mind. Of course, there are some exceptions. They're the ones I consider friends. But, you know, you end up being your real self around them. You say what you want to say. But I just find it fascinating at the idea that, you know what? I'm fascinated at the idea of someone using this podcast to get to learn who I am. And I am trying to put out my best image out there. You know, maybe I shouldn't care about the fact that I'm going over. I kind of like the idea that they see, what the heck? 2-hour podcast? Fuck. And it's a motherfucker talking about themselves. Like, I like that idea that they're distracted. Like, if you're listening to it, you're invested. You're either working for the FBI or you're sincerely trying to get to know me. And if that's you out there, then I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. You know, yeah. Anyways, about the Meghan and Harry documentary. I finished the first episode. The one thing I do like about the documentary is I love, and I really mean, I love the fact that their relationship has forced England, the monarchy, has revealed them for who they really are. Like all that shit they put they swept under the rug, all that. No, we're not racist. We love black people. All that shit is finally coming out into the open. It's unfortunate that they're having poor Meghan had to, you know, she went through a lot of mental health. Like they stressed her out. They stressed that her, I'm sure, her and her husband too. They're married, right? Yeah, they're married. Yeah. I'm sure they're stressed out. They went through a lot of stress. That's unfortunate, but I love the fact that these white folks, a lot of angry white people are like, this fucking black bitch out of Compton is fucking up the monarchy. When the reality, the monarchy been fucked up. The monarchy and you are fucked up. You're just, what you hate is the fact that they're revealing you for who you really are. You know what? I think what I like about this relationship is, it's the truth that they're forcing to show on the surface that a lot of people are refusing to admit for themselves. That's probably the only thing I like about this documentary and their relationship. Yeah, but I'm not going to sell them on it. All right, next thing on the rundown sheet. You know, I was listening to, how did Rick Rock survive? Well, I shouldn't be surprised. I say Rick Rock. Okay, so I was listening to Rick Ross, the track, let me put the lyrics. Rick Ross. Lyrics. There we go. U-O-E-N-O. She ain't even know. Oh, high class niggas. This shit sound crazy. Flush shit. Wait. Oh, this $1,000. Okay, this $1,000 pair of shoes. And you don't even know it. Yeah. you know that song, right? Rick Ross got in trouble for it because of that rapist line in there. And what shocked me is the fact that Rick Ross survived being called out as a correctional officer. You know, he made it sound like he was every day I'm hustling, like, you know, putting tar on the roof. But the truth is, he's been rapping about other people's lives. He actually, his name has been stolen. You know, hip hop is all about keeping it real. And 50 Cent revealed that, yo, this dude used to be a correctional officer and no one gave a fuck. Then this dude wrote a rhyme and said, hold on a second. Let's see. You say Molly? Yo, he said, put Molly in her champagne. She ain't even know it. I remember hearing that line and going, hey, what's the big deal? But ignored the second line. He goes, I took her home and enjoyed that, and she ain't even know it. Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Yeah, that's a Bill Cosby shit right there. That he, maybe it's because after he's watching the Bill Cosby documentary that I'm like, oh, you know what? Yeah, date rape is fucked up. I mean, you know, so much for that first impression. Yes, look, I again, podcast is all about growth. There's a lot. I talk a lot about my unenlightened days where I was an ignorant ass male. I mean, I still believe I'm an ignorant ass male, but I'm better than the ignorant ass male that I was before. And yes, there was a time when that verse came out when I first heard that verse or the controversy about Rick Ross. When he said, put Molly in her champagne, the first thought that came to mind is, rappers always brag about. The first thing I thought about is how that's seduction. Rappers always talk about how they're master seducers, like their big dick, their money, their status, their influence. So causes women to just give it up, give up their pussy, fuck their agencies, their objects. You know what I mean? They're not women. They're not human beings. They're objects of desires. And the coin you put in these objects of desire, like, you know, like a machine, is seduction, and they give it up to you. So when he said, put Molly in her champagne, I'm like, that was seduction. What I'm getting at is, shout out to everyone, the outcry, the air in this room sucks. That's why I'm coughing. I think I'm gonna get myself an air filter for Christmas. Anyways, or a humidifier. Anyway, yeah, I remember the first time I heard it, not understanding the outrage. Fast forward to now, and I'm like, hold on, let me calm down. Excuse me, I should hit stop, but the show must go on. Right. Last thing I said was the show must go on, but the truth is it got worse, so I actually hit stop and I'm continuing recording. Here we are, feeling better. I'm all right. Don't call 911. Well, this should be published, so why the fuck are you calling 911? Anyway, yeah, okay. Where was I? The outrage. Right. I was talking about the verse, put Molly in her champagne. She ain't even know it. I took her home and enjoyed that, and she ain't even know it. Yeah, bro, that's rape. That's fucking rape, man. Don't talk to any, yo, don't hang out with anyone. Anyone who tells you differently, red flag that motherfucker. If that's your friend, that's your boyfriend. Red flag that motherfucker. Yeah, man. That's the motherfucker to say shit like, yo, check on your friends. They don't, yeah. Anyone who tells you that's not, he's not talking about rape, that's fucked up. Yeah, man. Anyways, where was I going with this? I was thinking about the fact how, well, okay, two things went to my head is, one, how, well, I was going to say Rick Ross got away with that, but no, there was some outrage. I remember he was supposed to do a concert in Ottawa, and that shit got canceled. And I don't know. I don't know if this motherfucker learned from this example, but I'm sure there's a bunch of people who were like, oh, man, the fucking liberal fucking people are too sensitive about this shit. But I'm not one of them. Nah, I think that's it's fucked up. I'm not surprised he survived that shit because, you know, patriarchy. And two, fucking, I remember when Donald Trump got away with saying, grab him by the pussy. But my all this to say is that's fucked up, man. Rick Ross, he survived being a correction, finding out that he's a correctional officer and being a rapist. Don't get me wrong, that dude makes good music. I won't deny it. He does make good music, but he's a piece of shit. He's a piece of shit, and the world loves him for him. World loves him for it. All right, okay. Well, not the whole world. Not the whole world, because, you know, I'm part of this world and I'm talking about it. I haven't bought, oh, wait, have I ever bought some Rick Ross music? Maybe his first album, before I found that he was a CEO and he was going to rap about raping chicks. All right, okay, next item okay, this is something that bothered me. On the theme of people not giving a fuck. And don't chuck it on your friends. So my name is B Black, but on my okay, I don't use my go, but my government self, the way I pay for this shit is I'm actually a public servant working the government. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to admit that shit or whether I'm violating some kind of code. But the biggest thing going on in Ottawa is how we're being forced. The hammer came down, and we were told that from the top that look. All you motherfuckers need to return to the office. Not return to work, you assholes. Return to the office. And what I didn't know is the nigga who cuts my hair was one of those people who are like, yeah, man, go back to the office, you lazy motherfuckers. What I'm thinking about is how. The thing with working for the government is that people look down on you. I think it's mostly hate because you know, working in the government, you get a nice pension. It's like, it's the most cushy, comfortable job you can have. When I say comfortable, in terms of stability. But even there, you know, they lay off people there, but it's known for its stability. But to the average public, we're looked down on. People look at us as lazy who just I remember one person says it's a better level of welfare. It's working in government is like working for any big company. And but the fact that what I didn't know is that there was people on the outside, the idea of us being able to work from home was like the last draw for them. Like they were so pissed off. It's like, fuck, now these lazy motherfuckers get to kick it at home and sleep and take a nap and shit like that. And it bothered me. I mean, at first I used to roll with it. I didn't give a fuck about, yeah. I know a few lazy people. Some of them, a few lazy people working in government. Some of them get promoted. And they're white. And I know a lot of hard workers, like motherfuckers who don't see daylight, who like, I don't know, they're like sharks. I think for them, keeping them busy is like, yeah, like sharks. They keep themselves busy. Like, there's a hard worker and there's the lazy ones. They're the shameful ones. There are people in the government who treat this shit, take it seriously. No, I am serving the Canadian public. And there are just motherfuckers who are like, hey, man, my daddy hooked me up with this shit. Yeah. But with that said, what gets me is how a lot of these people are confused at the idea that by working in the office, it'll force us to be working. My coughing starts again. I'm so annoyed. Oh, maybe I'm recording too long. Okay, you know what? Okay, I think I'm going to save this one. Okay, I'll tell you what. I'm going to commit to recording on Wednesday. Because these last two items. Yeah. Because this coffin fit, hey, I'm going too long and I don't want to go over an hour and a half. So I'm going to save these last three for Wednesday. There will be an episode on Wednesday. This will not be the last 2023 one, but but I'm going to cut this one short because as you can see, this coughing is fucking with me. And it's annoying. Anyway, damn. I did look it up. Apparently, if you have one of those electric heaters in your room, yeah, people like us, like me, need to get like air filters and humidifiers and shit, because that shit dries up the air. And apparently, I guess I don't work too well in dry air. But here we are. Yeah, okay. So my last one was Rick Ross. The last two items I had were returning to the office. And the only point I was going to make is there's a difference between being productive and giving the impression I'm productive. Being in the office, all I did was give people the impression that I was being productive. When the reality is, the hardest work I put in is when I'm alone, when I don't have motherfuckers around me distracting me. Sure, I'll be in the meeting. Okay, if you see me in the meeting not talking, my brain is half asleep. But if you see me contributing and shit like that, which doesn't happen, I'm sorry, collaborating and things like that, yeah, sure, I'm working. Maybe I'm going to people's cubicle to get specification, but I could have done that in email too. But the real work is when I'm on my own, music playing in the background, or may or not playing in the background, and my creative, and I'm alone doing shit like that. I don't do too well working with side by side with another person unless I'm training them on this thing. But yeah, man, it pisses me off that the Canadian public, no, not the Canadian public, the Ottawa public. Well, it's a combination of businesses that were dying. So fuck it. By the way, all you businesses downtown, I will be boycotting downtown. Oh, wait, I don't work downtown anymore. But you can go fuck yourselves. I hope that you all go bankrupt. I hope that you all suffer. Yeah, man, no, there's some people, they're the controlling type. I had a boss like that. I had a manager like that. We had a network outage. And he wanted to, of course, he's a boomer, right? We had a network outage, and he was going around going, yo, I don't give a fuck, there's no network. Get to work. Be busy. And I'm like, oh, you want us to look like we're being productive. All right, fine. I'll put on a show. I'll be an actor. Scene. You know what I mean? Oh, my God, I'm fucking busy. There's no fucking computer working, right? I'll write something. I'll scribble something. I'll talk on the phone so I can look busy. But the reality is, look, if you don't trust me, look, if you don't trust your employees to do your work, then fucking fire them then. Okay, I'm trying to talk myself out of a job here. But I think I'm realizing the next time I'm job searching, I think my interview question is going to be like, hey, do you need me to pretend I'm busy or am I actually going to be busy? Because you can't have the both. You can't have both. You know, I can either be an actor or I can either be a productive employee, but it's not like, I used to love watching the newsroom. I don't know if you're familiar with the newsroom, and I used to like how everyone was like busy, like they acted like, oh shit, we trying to get the scoop, we're really busy and shit like that. But I wonder why my screen just went dark. But anyway, yeah, the only theme I have is to the Canadian public, fine. We're being forced to work in the office so you people can get the impression that we're busy. But you guys shot yourself in the foot with this productivity because we actually had a good thing going. Someone made a point about how, yo, the government pays you to do work. They don't pay you for where you do this work. But I'm just saying we were making progress. There's some people who work better when they're surrounded by people. I'm not one of them. And because you forced me into it, then now I think I'm going to start walking around with a suitcase. And, I think I'm annoyed at people who just can't process reality. Like, there was this one, one process reality, like, who measure productivity by how much clapping you do on the keyboard. How much they see you on the phone. How much, I remember this was an example of, if you want to look busy to people, walk around with a piece of paper in your hand. And people give it the impression that, oh my God, they're busy. Like, there's many ways to create the illusion that you're a fucking busy individual. Like, shout out to George Costanza from always look like you're annoyed. You know what I mean? That gives you the impression that you're busy. Like, I figured out all the ways to give the impression to someone, to a fucking idiot, to a boomer, old school, old fashioned boss, that I'm busy. But if you want to see me being productive, say shit like, hey, I want this done by this date. I'll do it. Trust me, I'm a hard worker. I just don't, you know, I'm a hard worker and all that shit. I'm the hard worker who doesn't have shit to show for it. That's what, I'm that kind of worker. But anyways, they got what they wanted. The thing that bothers me the most about the return to the office is how part of my job as a black person is making white people feel good about their racism. And they tell you that they have all these preventive measures and to deal with racism, but the truth is, it all relies on you, on me, the black person, or the person on the side, to face the racism and then choose to do something about it. I think that's what bothers me the most about having to fucking come back to work. Is that they fixed? They sent out a few emails, they blacked out. You know, they did what white people do usually with racism, pretend to give a fuck. Now I have to go back to that office and deal with the possibility of sitting next to some dude who, or some chick who's from buttfuck nowhere, Ontario or Canada, and doesn't know shit about black people, and wait for them to do shit like touch my head, touch my hair, or use the N-word, or say something that's gonna make me wanna stab them in the throat, and then be in that position to decide, okay, hey, that idiot you guys just hired, I'm really not looking forward to return to the office. And before you get on to, what, you're working with racist people? Look, man, it's my experience with white people. The racist ones know how to, fuck. They're worse, they're as bad as the 9/11 hijackers in the sense that they know how to fit within the group, to be off people's radar, and surprise you with their racism. But here we are. I'm gonna end that note on this episode 039. Don't shed a tear. N-word, I ain't happy here. Don't shed a tear for me, nigga. I ain't happy here. Something like that. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah, okay. I will be back for a midweek episode, and we'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes. Yeah, I think I should finish the 2020 with a nice round number of an episode. But here we are. This concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. If you want to holler at me, I'm on Twitter, bblizak, of course, at bblizak, or at Shut Up Podcast. Website is shutuppodcast.com. You can find the show notes that I keep referring to, that I talk about all the time, on our website. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You should just subscribe to this podcast using our RSS feed, Google, or find us. Oh, my God, you can subscribe to this podcast using your podcatcher and the RSS feed on our website, or find us on Google or Apple Podcasts. Hey, yo. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.